In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why didn't you have 9 linemen, Kev?
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I saw. Zach Jackson was the first one I saw note that he didn't understand, given their injury situation with the linemen and DeJuan Jones and his knees, and why they didn't have who's the other guy, Kenny, that was there
Javion
in preseason?
Cohen?
No.
Oh, Jermaine Ifedi.
Yes. Why he wasn't on the
Jermaine
active
Ifedi
roster on Sunday.
I don't know. Let's ask John Greco about that. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Former Browns guard, current analyst. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
So why didn't they carry 9 linemen instead of 8? They carried 8 linemen. They should have carried 9. Should they have? Is that the question I need to ask you? Yes, it is. So let me ask you.
That's tricky. I've gone into games where there's been 7 active offensive linemen, and there could have been a situation, somewhere else on the field, a different position, where they said, no, we need some more support here. I know special teams heavily relies on having extra bodies out there, because that screws everything up. If a guy gets injured, then you're bringing, potential starters in to play special teams. Of course, the situation we're in right now, it's easy for us to say, oh, what a big mistake they didn't carry 9. And there were some guys going into that game, with Jed Wills coming off an injury, and DeJuan Jones kind of being, laboring and having some knee issues as well. It's easy for me to say it would have been a good idea to do it. But, maybe they felt good enough going in that 8 was a good enough number and they weren't going to have to worry about it. So, sure, yeah, it's easy for us to say that now. But, before the game, they probably felt good enough to where they can get away with the 8 guys up.
So Watson gets sacked 8 times in that game, and it was pretty clear what the plan of attack for the Giants was. And Stefanski admitted yesterday that, you could see very early on what their attack was. Didn't really seem like a lot of adjustments were made. Who did you put the majority on those sacks on? Was it the offensive line or was it Deshaun Watson?
Well, I mean, I was at the game. I was watching with my 2 eyes. And, I think it was a lot of offensive line issues. I heard Kevin Stefanski say, every time there's a sack, it's on all of us. I'm with that because I played offensive line. And of course, there are situations where, you may not have gotten into the best protection, or slid the correct way. But a lot of those issues were guys getting beat one-on-one, or 2 guys not working in combination together, passing off twists and really finishing the block. So, I would say the majority of them were on the offensive line. I don't think that's a secret. But, I was surprised, guys. I heard a couple times, and Deshaun said it in his postgame interview, that they were surprised by what New York did as far as the number of pressures and the different things. I don't know, guys. It's week 3. It's not like you have, 8 games of film and there's this huge sample size to where you're like, okay, well, we ruled out everything that they can't do. This is what we're going to see 100%. I mean, every team that I've ever played for on, you kind of prepare for everything and anything. And your rules, your protection rules, should be able to cover things that haven't shown up on tape. And that's how I remember preparing for games. So that kind of, confused me a little bit, to where it's not like the Giants were inventing these, blitzes from outer space that no one's ever seen. I mean, they were bringing 5-man pressures and 6-man pressures. So these are things that everyone has seen at some point in their lives, whether it be training camp, last season. So it's either that they weren't prepared and they weren't ready to adjust to different looks and make their identifications and get the right 5 guys on the most dangerous 5 rushers. And if they bring 6, then the ball's got to come out. It's a hot throw. So I was a little bit surprised to hear that. But, yeah, I just think, you know, they have some major issues. And when it's an individual breakdown, yeah, the guy's got to win his one-on-one matchup. But, you know, when a team's bringing, you know, five-man pressures, six-man pressures, they got to get in the right protection. And what do you expect teams to do? You know, the run game hasn't been great. You know, David Njoku's out, so that kind of, you know, takes away the tight end weapon and option. You know, Amari Cooper came alive and looked terrific, made some unbelievable plays. So, of course, teams are going to light you up. You have a number of backup offensive linemen in. So they have to be ready. They have to go into this week and say, what are our base rules in this protection? Who are we identifying? Who the five linemen have these four down linemen and which other guy? And if the running back's in the protection, who does he have? And if they bring an extra guy, Deshaun's got to throw hot. Where's his option?
So that was a great explanation. John Greco joining us on the show. So it leads me to another question then. Do we have an Andy Dickerson problem?
You know, we talked about the impact of losing Bill Callahan in the offseason, and it was like, well, we'll see. And I'm not in the building to know how much influence he had on the run game, on the pass protections. You know, I've been a part of teams where the offensive line coach came in and said, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, and the offensive coordinator said, okay, sounds like you guys are on it. Let us know. And the quarterbacks would say, let us know who you're IDing and we'll work on it from there. And you were, you know, working with the running backs, the tight ends were involved. Pass protection is an orchestra of guys coming together to block the most dangerous five and six guys. So I don't know. It doesn't look good. It looks like they've definitely taken a step back. So, you know, yeah, are they running a different offense? It seems kind of like a hybrid offense where you have you know, Dorsey's influence, you have Kevin Stefanski's influence, you have, you know, an offense that's trying to be tailored to Deshaun Watson's strengths. They're trying to force, you know, like a four and five headed monster on offense. So I just don't think they have an identity right now. But I don't want to, you know, immediately blame the offensive line coach change, but it sure seems like there's a difference with the way that they're playing without Bill Callahan. And could that be a scheme thing because of his influence and his design? Or is it just a technique that they're being taught now? Because it obviously looks different.
All right. Same question, different person. Do we have possibly a Ken Dorsey problem?
You know, same thing, Ken. I think it's too early to diagnose that. Like I said, I think that there's too many mouths to feed. You're seeing his influence on the offense. They're throwing a lot of darts right now and seeing what's going to stick, because, you know, I liked the jumbo stuff that we saw, and that's Kevin Stefanski. That's his influence. And the play action. Well, you know, play action isn't as effective if you're not running the ball effectively. We all know that. That's no secret. And then, you know, you see a lot of shotgun formations, and I get that. Deshaun likes to operate like that, and you're trying to, you know, make him happy and play to some of his strengths. But it just seems like they're trying to do three or four different things as opposed to where they're trying to figure out what they're good at. And I think they're trying to establish some things to where, hey, okay, this is going to stick. We're good at this. We can run counter. We can run, draws out of this formation. I just think that I don't want to blame him yet. I don't think that's the issue. I know a lot of people are arguing, well, that's why he got ran out of Buffalo, and look what they're doing now. But, you know, they have Josh Allen at the end of the day. So I think right now it's just a myriad of different things that they're trying to do to see what sticks to what they could be good at. And right now it's not much. It's relying on, hopefully the protection's there and Deshaun gets the ball off on time and a guy catches it. I can't pinpoint one guy being the issue right now because there's a lot of issues.
What have you thought of Watson so far? He is somebody who obviously had a miserable debut. He was much better in the Jacksonville game. Obviously, it looks like Jacksonville stinks, but hey, Watson had to play well, and he did. And now, this past week, it's weird because Watson had, I thought, some of his best passes. I mean, not just the touchdown pass. I mean, he had some accurate passes on the sideline to Amari Cooper. There were like four that stood out to me, but the numbers were still really bad. And the analytics, he's like the worst quarterback in the NFL analytically.
Yeah, Anthony, I think it's just consistency, and that goes for the entire offense right now. It's, you know, half the time he doesn't even get to the height of his drop back, and he's getting hit by two or three guys. When the pocket's clean, maybe no one's open, and he's tucking it and looking for lanes to kind of bail or extend the play. When everything's right, he's putting it on the money, and guys are dropping it. When everything's right, and he gets the ball off on time, he's missing guys by 5, 6, 7 yards. So I can't say there's just no consistency there. You know, do I expect him to put the ball on the money? Of course. We paid him a lot of money to do that. But guys got to help him out. When he's doing that, we got to catch the ball. And, you know, there has been times where, like I said, you know, guys running scot-free beat his man and the ball's being overthrown. But you're right. I mean, the play to Amari Cooper, corner of the end zone, it looked unbelievable. That's what we want to see. That's what we're expecting to see. Our best playmaker on the perimeter, and you know, the quarterback that we brought in here paid a lot of money to put the ball on the mark. They executed that, so it's there. We know, we've seen it. It can happen, but it's just wildly inconsistent right now. And of course, he's seeing ghosts because, I mean, the guy's getting smacked in the backfield. You know, when protection breaks down. You know, guys, especially quarterbacks, as they their careers start to, you know, they get a little bit older, they don't want to take those hits. You know, there's guys flying around in the backfield at their knees, at their legs, guys getting beat, knocked down on their rear ends, and, you know, big guys in the middle off twist coming through the pocket, the A and B gaps free. You know, that's going to make him panic and try to bail out of the pocket. So I just think the consistency across the board on offense right now is just not there. So, you know, hopefully they're trying to figure it out in the building coming back tomorrow. Obviously, what can we do to be more consistent? Let's, you know, eliminate the penalties. Let's clean the protection up because it starts there. I'm a former offensive lineman. I'm always going to say that because, you know, if you don't protect and block the guys up front, it doesn't matter what Deshaun's going to do and what the receivers do on the edge. He's not going to have time to get them the ball. So to answer your question, I think it's just been so wildly inconsistent. We've seen flashes of brilliance. Then we've seen things that we're like, what the hell was that? And then there's times where we can't even assess it because he's getting hit, you know, as soon as he catches the snap.
Do you believe that Watson at all has played like a quarterback that will soon be replaced by a backup?
Gosh, Ken, I don't.
That's not a no. That's not a no.
It's just such a tricky question with how much they have invested in him.
That's, yeah.
And how early it is in the season. And I'm going, this answer is based off of what that would look like doing that. The season's not over. Mathematically, it's not over. I know it doesn't look great right now, and a lot of people are losing hope fast. But I've seen flashes to where it's like, no, I think that they can still win some games. I mean, the division's struggling. You know, obviously Pittsburgh looks good defensively, and they're doing enough on offense. But, you know, if you put Jameis Winston in there right now, are we really expecting it to be that much better? Like, is that the only problem? I don't think so. Are they going to magically be able to run the ball better and protect better? I don't know.
Yeah, John, the reason I ask is because, like yesterday, I was not entertaining any calls about replacing Deshaun Watson with Jameis Winston. And part of the reason was like, and I was telling people, like, you don't live in reality if you're already thinking that. They're not going to do that. The investment is just too high. If you do that, once you walk through that door, you're never allowed to walk back through. And I don't care for whatever reason it is. We all know this. And and I'm being accused of not living in reality, going, Kenny, it's not going to work out with this guy. If you need to save the season, Kenny, then damn it, you need to make this change. I'm going, no, I'm not making that change yet. Not a chance.
Well, I think you're just being realistic about it, and I'm on your side with that opinion and assessment. I think that it's we're all going down with the ship if that's the case. But I'm still trying to remain optimistic. I know people. I put it this way: I get more people attack me more from being on your show than they ever have.
Good.
When I played, I'm like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. I want people coming after you.
Welcome
getting personal.
To the Lion's Den, Greco.
You see this type of hit takes on you, John? You see that?
I thought you get a softball interview.
What were you going to say, John?
It's
sorry.
It's really entertaining because I was like, man, when I played and I was like, you know, a part of the problem that people were calling in each week, everybody left me alone. But no, I'm with you. I think that there's too much invested. There's too much on the line. There's other guys' jobs are on the line to where if they pull the plug now, you're right. It's not a situation that's like, well, you know, let's give him 6 weeks to just kind of, you know, get his head right and everything, and then try again later. I don't think anybody's going to be the instant fix to where the season's going to be saved just by moving one guy. And I think everything that happened last year with Joe Flacco, that magical run, I don't want to say that was just kind of a fluke, but that's giving everyone now a false sense of hope that, like, oh, one guy can be the knight in shining armor that could just come in and the team's going to magically be fixed. I think there's just too many other issues right now at this stage of the season to where one guy isn't going to change everything.
John Greco, you know, I hope it doesn't have to happen, but at some point I will have to ask that question because a lot of people use it. And we're out of time, so I got to let you go. But keep this in your back pocket of how you answer, because a lot of people have said, well, what is Kevin Stefanski going to do when he has to look Miles Garrett, Joel Bitonio, and Denzel Ward, and all these guys in the eye and say he's still playing an ineffective quarterback? I hope it doesn't come to that. But that might be an answer that you have to consider at some point in the future. John, it's been great stuff. We can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you. It's always fun.
John Greco on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John_Greco77 on Twitter. Fantastic stuff from him. Gotta say, not a great endorsement by John Greco, whether he meant to or not. Not a great endorsement for the coaching staff and their game plan on Sunday. That was surprising to hear. More on that coming up in just a moment. But first, Daryl Ryder and Andy Baskin, they track the season episode by episode in their podcast, It's Always Game Day in Cleveland. They have a post-game show that drops after every game. Obviously, that's why it's called a post-game. It's not called middle of the game. It's not called a pre-game. It's not called, like, a day after a game. It's the post-game. Subscribe to that podcast right now, 92.3thefan.com, the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's sponsored locally by Smiley One and Bryant, Northeast Ohio's premier heating and cooling solution. Greco, boy, it was when he said that he was surprised that they just did seem to be not ready on Sunday. That Kevin Stefanski's been a organized guy. For as any arguments that you can give, there's been a lot of organization. It was a bad performance by everybody on Sunday.
Well, they clearly weren't ready. My question is, why does that mean you have to wave the white flag and you lose the game? Like, you have all the ability in the world to see what's happening. Remember, the Browns aren't some team of rookies.
I thought they tried.
Here's what I mean. They coming into the season.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Season, weren't they by starters the oldest team in the NFL or second oldest team in the NFL?
One of them, yeah.
So that means you've got a bunch of veterans. You've got guys all over the map. I know they have injuries. Did you watch a 49ers game against the Rams? Both teams.
Christian McCaffrey is in Germany right now seeking a second opinion. Right. It's never good when they go to Europe.
Not good. So there's plenty of teams that have a bunch of injuries. You're telling me that the Browns, with their coaching staff that we have given a ton of credit, and rightfully so, and the rest of the league feels really good about the Browns, their organizationally or their coaching. I mean, this is a coach who's won two Coach of the Year awards. I know everyone's scoffing at it today because they're 1-2, but those things did happen. Those seasons did happen. They were earned, and it's not easy. They don't fall out of the sky. So you feel like you have enough invested around this organization to see that the Giants came out with a game plan that surprised you. Fine, that's going to happen in football sometimes. There are some teams that are willing to throw different things against the wall,
yep.
right? When
yep.
they feel that they need to, because the Giants were desperate.
Yeah, the Giants needed to.
And they know that the Browns going in, 6.5-point favorites, nobody really thought the Giants were going to win that game. So that's going to happen throughout the course of a year. A team is going to come out with something you haven't seen. That doesn't mean you lose the game. That means, oh, okay, we've seen that. We have about 45 more minutes in the NFL game to try to deal with it.
Well,
what do you do then?
That's what I was a little bit in. I don't like, because it feels like we're almost playing the blame game. And I'm not talking about you and I. We play the blame game all the time.
I'll play the blame game. That's fine.
Does it not feel to you like maybe the players are playing blame game here?
Yeah.
Because I'm like, hey, man, like you were in the game. It was a 6-point game. It wasn't like they just blew you out and you gave up in the fourth quarter. It was a 6-point game. Kevin Stefanski didn't fumble anything. Jerome Ford fumbled the ball. Whether that was on Deshaun Watson or Jerome Ford, I'm not sure. He didn't fumble anything.
Well,
he didn't mess up
that,
the snap exchange.
They couldn't get a yard. Jameis couldn't get a yard on third down, and the fourth down
was
ridiculous.
He's the one that didn't execute that. And that's what I hated most.
Did you have a problem with the third
down?
No.
God, no.
Okay,
no.
Nick in the afternoon yesterday was making fun of that play, and I'm like, that's a play that every NFL team needs to be able to run.
Execute. I mean, just because you don't have your best offensive line, they're still big. They should be able to execute. You didn't execute.
Yeah.
That's on. You got to execute.
Bad teams
guys,
get third and one.
The most legendary coaches to the youth coaches of America. If you can't gain 1 yard, you don't deserve to win. Well, you didn't gain 1 yard.
That
you didn't win.
Two plays at it.
Yeah, you had your chances. You weren't able to do it. That's not
and,
execute.
And now the fourth down. They did scheme a guy wide open, and then obviously, for whatever reason, Watson didn't pull the trigger or see it, and then he went to run and didn't get it.
He's not Chris Angel. Like, it's not all smoke and mirrors and deception. Some of it is. Yeah, some of it is. But there's going to be times in a game, especially in those moments, you're just going to have to go out and make a play and execute. Man on man, you're going to have to do it. So, no, I had no problem with that whatsoever. I was wondering whether or not they might try that pitch out to to Jerome Ford again. Because I'm going, man, I wonder if they could see this. They definitely saw that on tape. So, you know they're going to be ready for something like that on fourth and one. With Jameis out there, you definitely know. It's one-on-one stuff. You know they're going to see it. So, I was wondering if they were going to try something like that again or they were going to throw a new wrinkle. Knowing how they call plays over the last 4 years, I didn't think they were going to call it. They decided to run it with Jameis, and really they should have been able to take care of that business.
There is no doubt Stefanski and the entire coaching staff had a bad game. I know there have been people, when are you guys going to go after Stefanski? I mean, truth be told.
It just depends on when you guys listen.
Well, truth be told, that's a game where how do you not go off on everybody? I mean, that's except for Amari Cooper. How do you not go off on almost every single player? I mean, that's the coaches did a bad job throughout the week. The players, I thought, did a terrible job also for the amount of veterans they have. They didn't really adjust. And unless you're telling me they have no leeway to adjust, like if you're telling me that Deshaun Watson doesn't have the ability to get them out of bad plays, formations, is he not allowed to diagnose things pre-snap? If he's not, then this is all a waste of time anyway. Can we admit that? I mean,
yeah.
If at this stage of Deshaun Watson's career, if he does not have the autonomy to do those things,
I can agree with that.
Then you're going nowhere. If they don't trust him to do that, I hate to say it.
Well, what is he, a 7-year vet?
Right.
8-year vet?
I know he's missed a lot of football, but all right, it's week three. You've watched tape. You were, you know, when you were in Houston, I mean, Deshaun Watson blew people away with some of the tape stuff. Now all of a sudden he can't do it, like, and he's not able to read defenses.
Your guess is as good as mine, Anthony. 216-474-0092. I wanted to rank the 1 and 2 teams. You want to do this?
I do want to hear from some fans. I do have some questions about where there's some good teams that are 1 and 2 right now in the not just the AFC. I mean, we're talking the NFL as a whole.
Let's go to Kevin in Cleveland. Kevin, you're first up on the fan. Yellow.
Good morning. My name is Evil Kevin. I would like to talk about me, Kevin Stefanski. I am not good at play calling. I refuse to make adjustments. And you guys seem to don't see that. All those blitzes on Sundays, I refuse to make an adjustment. I don't want to run screenplays. I want to run counters or traps. I want my game plan to work. Ken Dorsey is not the problem. It's me, Evil Kevin. I am the problem.
Adios now.
Dan in Seven Hills, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, good morning,
Dan.
Guys.
Dan!
Not in Six Hills, but in Seven Hills.
Let's count them, seven.
Seven of them.
Yes. There used to be a rumor there were only five. No, they've gone
down. I drove. I counted. There's seven.
Well, that's more than me. I don't even know what the Seven Hills are, so.
Oh, they're named. They got names, man. You got to figure that out. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah. Have you guys seen the movie Iron Man?
Yes.
Remember in the scene where the villain is yelling at the scientist that Tony Stark was able to build this in a cave?
I don't remember any of that. I didn't see that movie. This is a tone call. Tone, take her away.
I do remember the movie. I've seen three of them. Are there three of them? I've seen three. There more than that afterwards?
Do you remember that scene, though, where I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. Vividly. Yeah.
So I think that's the difference between Tony Stark and being Bill Callahan, and that lowly scientist trying to recreate it is Andy Dickerson. Because what Bill Callahan did last year with the offensive line being just as beat up, if not more so, and getting like Pro Bowl caliber out of Dwan Jones as a rookie and getting Ethan Postick to play as Pro Bowl caliber, as beat up as that offensive line and able to actually protect Joe Flacco compared to Andy Dickerson, who can't recreate any of that magic. That's the difference, I think, in the offensive line. And I think Bill Callahan is already sorely missed. And I think that's the big difference between the 2 years.
Well, we can miss Bill. And I got to tell you, Dan, and thank you very much for the call, because you hit on something here. I think Bill Callahan was very involved. I mean, this was a Super Bowl head coach at one point. So I in his office, I believe, was it right next to Kevin's?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't think I was having brain farts here.
They made that a deal.
They made that a deal. Yes. So I think Bill Callahan was heavily involved in run game stuff, and obviously with some of the pass protection stuff. And, you know, you hate to be the guy that replaces the guy. I know that. So I'm trying to be fair with Andy Dickerson, but this is a mess. This is just a mess. And honestly, it wasn't even great before when guys were healthy. Relatively healthy, quote unquote. I don't know if we've had really any healthy stuff at all this season, but man, that's bad. And I'm getting frustrated with the Callahan, where it's like, hey, he's a really good coach. No disrespect to him. Again, he's a man in his 60s. This time was going to end at some point. So I have to go, who did you replace him with? All right, you replaced him with Andy Dickerson. I need to look at Andy Dickerson and criticize him, examine him. And I need to criticize who hired him. If it was Kevin, if it was Andrew, if it was Paulie Podesta, or a mix of the three, whatever it was, I need to criticize them. If this guy isn't working out, they're the guys who hired him.
You know what? People have asked us from time to time. We get questions like, who's responsible for the Deshaun Watson trade? Like, who is the one that
really...
Well,
we've said our side about it.
But we don't truly know. I don't know that the Browns have been all that transparent on that. They'll just say, well, you know, we make unified decisions. We all get together and we're all on the same page. Collaborative, yes. In this case, I mean, just from what I've heard, Kevin Stefanski, it was not his overarching thought to get rid of Van Pelt and go get Ken Dorsey. I don't know what you've heard, Kenny, but...
Heard the same thing.
Remember, Van Pelt is somebody who... has a lot of friends in Cleveland.
Yeah,
lived here, and you know, sometimes those people talk that don't necessarily work with the Browns, and you know, that's kind of the information that has gotten back to me.
Raj doesn't have to be downtown to find out some of these things.
This is suburban talk now.
Uh-huh.
This is out in the burbs.
Interesting. Yeah,
I wonder if that does make a difference to fans? Like, if fans knew that this was an organizational thing and not a Stefanski thing to get rid of Van Pelt and to bring in Ken Dorsey.
Guys that they don't trust right now? Yeah, it's a real big deal and not a good one. Not good. So we are not in seven in heaven.
No.
I dared you yesterday to put this team in seven in heaven. But are they close to seven in heaven still? I smell a power ranking.
Yes. Yes, they are.
Oh, they are they?
Yes, they are.
Okay. Maybe you should power rank the one and two teams then.
Do you want just the AFC or the NFL entirely? I have the whole NFL.
AFC.
Oh, I was going to do the NFL.
Okay, do the NFL. I think people want to know how close we are to the playoffs.
The best one and two team in the NFL is the Baltimore Ravens. Number two. Now, This one's teetering based on health, but I like the way that their quarterback has played. Mm. And they have their formula, and they have their coach.
He's going to say the Broncos.
I'm going to say the San Francisco 49ers.
Ah.
And I'm putting them ahead of the Rams, who are also 1-2, who they just lost to. And then third, I think, and this is good, this is really, really good news for your Cleveland Browns. I'm staying in the NFC. Those 1-2 teams. I'm going Arizona Cardinals.
What?
Yep.
Wait, so you have Baltimore, L.A., and then Arizona?
Baltimore, San Francisco, and Arizona.
Oh, Baltimore, San Francisco, and Arizona.
Ranking the 1-2 teams. And the point of that
Arizona
is...
Arizona over L.A.?
Yeah. And the point of this
you
is...
You even watch the sport, or...
I do. I don't think Matt Stafford's going to make it through the year.
Okay, well, you can't guarantee that now, because he's here, and he's healthy.
Yeah.
Or as healthy as Matt Stafford's ever going to be.
Just in their wide receiver situation, they got very lucky. They got very fortunate. And again, we had another game just come down to pass interference. All right, bring the field goal kicker out, win the game. Like, I cannot stomach that in that league. They've got to do
something.
They're
pretty battle-tested over there, though, buddy. Like,
sure.
Well, you sound like you disagree with him.
I do.
Well, then fine. Let's hit. Give me your power ring.
Number one. I like it when it hits those smart. Number one, I'm going to say San Francisco 49ers.
Okay. Some respect.
Got a couple of injuries. They didn't have George Kittle.
They didn't have Kittle. They didn't have McCaffrey. They didn't have Debo.
They got New England Sunday at 4:05. I think the magic is gone for the New England Patriots.
Brock Purdy looks good.
Yeah.
They're 1-2, and he looks really good.
That's why I put him number one. He's a cyclone. He knows what he's doing. Number two... Baltimore, number three, the Los Angeles Rams. Here you go.
Oh, wait, Arizona destroyed the Rams 2 weeks ago.
Okay, wait a minute. You said it was the preseason, so I guess that game doesn't count. Champions pose.
I like Arizona. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
I know why you like them.
Why?
Because you text a certain somebody who knows
certain people. Oh, the Jonathan Gannon?
Yes. So, of course, he's from Cleveland. It's a big, small town, so that means we all know each other in some way.
It's weird. I feel a lot better about Kyler Murray than I think most people. And I've felt that way for 3 years. And I think it's because I've seen him shred the Browns twice.
That's why when people were saying the most ridiculous things about Brandon Staley, you and I were going, this is an unfortunate circumstance. Because his brothers listen to this show. You think I'm going to sit there and rip Brandon Staley? Some of the stuff said about Brandon Staley was actually really mean-spirited. But
sure.
I wasn't going to...
Well, that's the fun of it. It's the NFL.
Yeah, I wasn't going to sit there and rip him up and down. Because his brothers listen to the show. Wasn't going to do that. And it's just like with Jonathan Gannon. Oh, I like Jonathan Gannon. They play hard for him. Do they or do we see it through Cleveland colored glasses? Maybe a little bit of column A. Maybe a lot of column B.
How about Brandon Staley? Is he assistant?
Okay.
He's the assistant head coach with the 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the offensive coordinator was last night for Washington?
Kingsbury. Kingsbury.
Yes. So what happens?
Slappy.
If Jaden McDaniels, if he has Jaden McDaniels, if.
Oh, no.
If what's his name? Jaden.
Daniels.
He had two incompletions last night. I know. I'm thinking NBA McDaniels. If he has a great season.
Don't say it.
Cliff Kingsbury is going to be a head coach in the NFL again.
Oh, my God.
That's how this works. You don't think the way that young quarterbacks have struggled in this league, you don't think an owner is going to be like, oh, my God, look at what he just did.
Congratulations to the owner. Because you just made a dumb move.
But that's how it works. These guys are trying to figure out, why are all these rookie quarterbacks coming into the league, just they look ill-equipped.
You hate the league right now.
I do.
You are hating it.
I am not a fan.
You say it's an unwatchable league.
Well, all the retread quarterbacks are back in charge. Like, why is Sam Darnold, Geno Smith? Geno's like the most accurate passer in the league.
Because maybe we're finding out that they were in places that they probably shouldn't have been, should have been in the quarterback.
Derek Carr is all of a sudden really good.
What have you thought of the Jets since we were on
Andy
air together?
Dalton got
Andy
little...
Dalton just shredded
again.
Baker
again. What have you thought of the New York Jets since we've been on the air? Not just together, but on the fan. What have you really thought of the Jets? Place where quarterback careers go to die. Is it any secret that all of a sudden Sam Darnold's able to complete a pass, and so is Geno Smith over the last couple of years? Where did they both start?
Yeah, but you think all
so
these guys
are... So we're saying that maybe some of these guys had talent and that somebody had to unlock that talent. Maybe, just maybe, they should have sat instead of being forced to be in the positions that they were put into.
So do you think all these retreads are good now? You think they've found their footing?
To the level of what they need to be to win a Super... No. But they're all... I mean, Geno Smith made a $100 million contract. Look at Baker Mayfield. And again, what do people say outside of Cleveland about what we do with quarterbacks?
Yeah, we're quarterback killers.
Well, Baker Mayfield is having... I didn't play well on Sunday. but is having a renaissance in some fashion to Tampa Bay. All right. Like, yeah, it's going to happen. Guys, like, you go around better situations... And some of these guys who have flaws, they find themselves with guys who take care of them. But all these coaches, and I throw Kevin in this mix because he's had guys who have had flaws, and he's done his damnedest to take care of him. That's why I'm starting to get a little bit concerned about the whole what offense are we running thing, and why do we go out and get certain people for it? This is why, because, hey, you can't sit there and deny the results with some of the other quarterbacks that we've had. I'm not going to sit there and lie to everybody. Now, I'm not waiting for those guys to come back, and I was an advocate because I said there was not a chance in hell you were bringing him back, so I wasn't even going to make that argument.
Are all of these retreads, Kenny, just playing well because it's the theme of the show today that I know you don't like me saying? It's preseason. They are the ones that have seen NFL defenses.
Only the slipperiest of wizards can make an argument at the beginning of a segment about a team that won in week one. And then have me say it's preseason, and then 7 minutes later, Ken, is it just preseason? You're going to have to start working harder here. You're not going to get it all by me. I've had a lot of coffee, and I'm going to catch you in your tracks.
All of a sudden, Andy Dalton looks like one of the better quarterbacks in the league. That's a crappy league. That's a league that sucks.
Well, you're playing a crappy team. They expected to go out there. They were smelling themselves after the win they had against Baltimore, and they thought that they were going to beat up on crappy Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton is still good once. I don't think I'd take him for an entire 17. Nobody would take him for an entire 17-game season, but he's still a good quarterback when he was in his prime. That's on the Raiders. I wish we were playing the Raiders last week instead of having to play the Raiders this week, because now Antonio Pierce has put the challenge on him. But at least it seems like it's going to be a Browns home game. We'll talk more about that maybe tomorrow. 216-474-0092. Well, Rodney McLeod joins us in studio. I will tell you guys, I just want to let you guys know, we checked the tape. He was not a part of the river dance that was going on in the end zone. He was not a part of it. We might have to bring it up with him, but Rodney was not a part of it. Rodney McLeod in studio next on The Fan.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.